Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
That's great. Way, what a great church, C3 Toronto. Man, this is one of my most favorite places in the world. This church is phenomenal. What God is doing here, I said to the leadership team as staff yesterday and on Friday night to some of the marriage and family guys, what's going on here is not normal. You are unusual in a good way. There's revival in the C3 Toronto. There's like stuff happening here that is not normal. I wish it was normal. I wish that every church I went to was experiencing what C3 Toronto is experiencing. And whatever you've got, whatever juice you're taking, it is great juice to share around. So spread the juice around. And so you are blessed of all people to be part of this amazing, phenomenal community of faith in this city. Your pastors are incredible. I've known them for years and years and years. Pastor Jess since she was a kid, and Pastor Sam since he was like a teenager. He used to come up to me after, you know, every month after service and say, I'm ready to plant a church. And he was only 17. settle down. Well, don't settle down, but, you know, hold the dream. Hold it back and look at them now and what God is doing. I want you to thank your pastors and just thank them and appreciate them. Yeah, we've been part of C3 for, is that Sarah over there? That's awesome. What a great story. Incredible. Come on, give it up for Sarah. It takes a lot of guts to talk about that. It's incredible. Amazing. As you were talking on the screen, I had a picture for you. I just saw an unusual picture of a whole bunch of almost like Easter eggs. And look, the Lord's got some hidden things. You know, you're going to Easter egg hunt. You're on a treasure hunt, and I believe that God's going to surprise you with incredible things for your future. And I see God hatching, if you like, incredible surprises. And there's amazing new vision that you're in an amazing place right now, but God has incredible future for you and surprises that are going to blow your mind in terms of the vision. And all that pain in the past is going to make sense in the next couple of years as he unfolds the vision that he has for your life. So awesome. Come on, give the Lord a hand. It's great. Hey, yeah, we've been part of C3, like Pastor Sam said, for a long time. And my wife's name is Bernie. And we've got three kids and six grandchildren. And we just walked into this little church 38 years ago. And it's not like, you know, God's purpose and God's destiny for your life is usually a lot less spectacular at the beginning of something. We're looking for something that isn't real. God guides you and leads you into places. I'm sure most of you, when you came here, it's not like there's shining lights and flashing symbols and things. No, it's just that you just take one step at a time. And we were young believers, and we didn't belong to a fellowship. And we realized after a while that it isn't just about believing, it's about belonging. And so God led us in a very natural but supernatural way, because that's how God moves, naturally supernatural or supernaturally natural, whatever it is. And we'd heard of this church that was starting down the road from us in the northern beaches of Sydney. And we decided just to rock along, and because we felt like we needed to belong somewhere. So we walked into this church. Actually, we went down to the original venue that we were told it was at. And when the parking lot was closed and dark and there was no one there, we thought they knew we were coming. So they all ran away. And then we're just about to drive out of the parking lot, and Pastor Phil, who's the pastor, fortunately sent someone down to the original parking lot to say, just in case somebody's looking for the church at the old venue, go down and check it out, find those people if they're there, which was us. Isn't it amazing? I've developed a message out of that, which I'm not preaching this morning, but God swings big doors on little hinges. And it's the little things in life that end up becoming big things. So don't think the details are not important. The details matter. Details matter. That little detail of Pastor Phil, hey, just in case someone goes to the old venue, get in the car. That our future was determined by that one little decision. So he said, we've moved, follow me. So we followed this guy, and this strange guy in a strange car up a strange road into a strange venue, and walked into this little school hall, way smaller than this, and there were 20 people there, and there was, and we're talking 1980, okay? So most of you weren't even alive in 1980. And Pastor Christine Pringle's up the front doing the Pentecostal two-step. Some of you don't know what that is, and nor should you. And the worship, Amanda, was awesome. I mean, if that was awesome, this was heaven, you know, like. So it was a young girl on an old broken down piano and a less than young guy on a violin. That was it. It was powerful. It was powerful. But it didn't matter to us, because it's not about how flashy something is, it's how real something is. It's how authentic something is. And I don't know, it just grabbed our hearts. It grabbed us. And we walked in. I had board shorts. You call them board shorts? Board shorts and a t-shirt. I just got out of the surf. I had long blonde hair. I had hair. And Bernie had long blonde hair as well. And we turned to each other slowly. It was like a scene out of a movie. And our hair was like blowing back in slow motion. Because it could then. And this part's true. And we said to each other at the same thing at the same time, we're home. We're home. We're home. Because God's the church. You don't. So when you're going home of a night, you don't go say, I'm going house. You say, I'm going home. And so when you find the place that God has for you, because God hasn't called you just to faith, He's called you to a people. And you've got to fight for those people and fight for those connections and fight for that family. And that's what God has called. And you are part of vision. We never knew about the future. It wasn't like it was written on the wall. There's going to be hundreds of churches, thousands of people, and you're going to be part of this thing. Well, it was just 20 people. But when your heart is moved and knit with something, the sense of God. And so if you've got that sense of God and this is your house, then build for the future. I'm telling you, the future of Toronto and the future of Canada is resting on the person who's sitting in your seat right now. You're not here to attend. You're here to get involved. You're here to be part of the great purpose of God. But it doesn't always look spectacular. And don't look for the spectacular. Just look for what's in front of you, whatever's in front of you. Bernie and I, my wife and I, made a decision that we whatever opportunity, whatever job we were offered to do, or just serving tasks we were asked to do, we'd just do it with a willing heart. And that's the key. It isn't about the big things, it's about the little things. So anyway, I've gone on enough about all that. So where's my clock? Oh, great. Fantastic. I better get on with it. Everybody say, get on with it, Kelsey. Okay. All right. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. This message is called, sorry guys, therefore. Everybody say therefore. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when you go down to verse 13, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that we brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I mean, there's about a year's worth of teaching in this passage of Scripture. Who loves the Bible? Anyone? Let me encourage you, get into the Bible. Get into the scriptures. Let it feed you. And I'm just going to unpackage a couple of thoughts for us this morning. You know, it's interesting. There are two time frames in heaven, two time frames in our life that we're meant to live in, then and now. And there's a scripture, you don't need to turn to it, guys, 1 Corinthians 13. It talks about, then we'll know fully. Now we only know in part. Then we'll see clearly. Now we only see as through a glass dimly. And so the Christian has to be a little bit dichotomous, a little bit sort of living in two places at one time. You're living with the anticipation of the hope that it will be revealed. It says, then you're going to get an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. I love that. Imperishable. It will not perish. Undefiled. It's pure. It's clean. It's pure as possible. Anything can be. And unfading. It's interesting. We buy jeans now that are pre-faded, pre-ripped, pre-torn, just to avoid the disappointment for later on, you know. So, and listen, FOMO is real on one issue. It's this. You need the fear of missing out, not on some Instagram party that's going on. You need the fear of missing out on eternity that is absolutely incredible. There is an inheritance for you that is phenomenal. Phenomenal. It's coming. And that's why Christ in you is the hope of glory. The moment you get Christ by the Spirit of God in you, it puts an eternal hope in you that seems contradictory often to your circumstances. Because you've got a hope that's coming. So you have to live in the then. You have to live in the future. You have to live with an anticipation of what's coming. And it is not fake. It is real. And it is far more real than this. What you're living in is not the total real. The total real is coming. And that real is incredible. Trust me. In heaven, the new heavens and the new earth, and your future in that is phenomenal. What you are going to inherit is going to be absolutely a million times, a million times, a million times, a million better than any great day at the beach you've ever had. And I live on a nice beach. Anybody excited? So the question I'll ask you in a few minutes is, do you have that certainty? Do you have that hope? And only Christ can bring that hope by the power of the Spirit, can put in you an eternal security that you know that you know that you know on the inside that you're going to inherit this thing that is so flippant amazing, that's incredible. However, as well as living in the then, we've got to live in the now. Live in the now. Stop torturing yourself. Anybody know that movie? No, it's okay. Don't worry. I'm showing my age. Okay. Because then it says back in verse... back in verse something or other, it says, in this you rejoice, though now, ever say now, though now for a little while. I love that. I love it. It just softens it a little bit. For a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials in the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold. You see, right now, you go through the trial of faith. And God wants to test that faith. He and only faith that's tested is genuine. Because many people have, you know, they believe and they pray loud and they sound eloquent. But I'm telling you, that means nothing unless your faith is actually tested. The trial that you're going through right now is not meant to torment you. It's meant to build you and grow you and enlarge you and increase you and make you and transform you and change you and develop you so that you're ready for the then. But God has something for you. So the tested genuineness of your faith, the trial, and God throws various trials at us. I hate that. You know, when you get something down, you go, yeah, I got that trial. I got it. I understand that comes. But you're in this thing. You've sorted that trial out. And then another trial comes at another angle. And I'm like, wow, where'd that come from? So the enemy throws stuff at you, but God... He wants to cause you to give up, but God says, no, 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 you're not going to give up because your faith is incredible, because your faith is precious. Don't give up. Don't let your faith be shipwrecked. Let me talk to you young people. Do not let your faith be shipwrecked. Keep in the faith. I don't care what you see, what you experience, who disappoints you. I don't care what people do to you. Live above the offense that is coming your way and get your faith mature so that you will survive to the end so you can inherit what God has for you at the end. So the trial comes and things happen and various trials happen. I just want to throw a photo up of our family. I'm not changing subjects here. That's my gorgeous family. I'm the old guy in the middle. And so we've got a son and two daughters, and they're all married, and that's our six grandkids. And I love my family. You know, I just want you to see my family. So who likes my family anyway? I like my family. Who likes your family? I don't know your family, so I don't know. But if I met them, I'd like them. I know I would. The reason I'm showing that is we've gone through, we've gone through some trials. Our trials are bigger than everyone's trial. A trial is a trial. Everyone's trial feels like a trial. You've got trials that I don't know about, and you've got trials that if I was in, I probably wouldn't handle as well as you. So well done. I've gone through some stuff, and you've gone through some stuff, but hey, we're still here. Give yourself a hand right now. Well done. But we were in the States January this year. We flew home from the States January 31, and the following day got news. Our beautiful youngest daughter on the end, Sasha, holding, and she's got three girls. They've spread out through that mix there. She's holding the youngest. So she's got three daughters. Sasha's got three daughters. And we came home to the news in Sydney just about 3 months ago that she has bowel cancer. And serious bowel cancer. And so, once again, the trial is like, it's not like, oh, well, yeah, we can see that coming. The whole nature of trial is that you can't see it coming. And I'm telling you, it knocked me. As a dad, it threw me. It's like I was a basket case for 48 hours. I was like, not my daughter. As a father, your kids are like everything. And she's got three young girls, and I started imagining all this horrible future, and just your mind just goes crazy. Who knows what I'm talking about? And it's like a trial of faith isn't like this lovely, neat package it's like, yeah, I'll rise up in faith, glory to God, No, it knocks you. I couldn't eat for 2 days, and I was sick, and I was praying and crying out to God. But that's what. But that thing, that trial of faith, does something on the inside of you, and it pulls something out of you. And it's interesting that it says, I love the scripture here. It says that the trial of faith, testing your faith, genuineness of faith, the trial of that may result in praise. May result in praise. Not answers. Not answers. And I'm going, I want an answer, and I want healing now. And look, I wish I could tell you that today that Sasha is healed. She's not. She's in the middle of radiation therapy now. Just finished chemotherapy. It's hell on earth. But I'm telling you, God is using that. There are friends that are being affected and family members being affected. Her own faith is growing. God uses a trial, but it says that it may result in praise. May result in praise because God wants to achieve something in you. He wants you to get you to your therefore. Every one of you have a therefore. You're not just destined for then, and you're not just struggling now. He's preparing you for your therefore. He's preparing you for a purpose. God wants you to bring, watch this, listen to me. He wants you to bring a piece of the glory of heaven into the earth. Your personality, your gifting, your calling, who you are, brings an element of the glory of God into the earth. In fact, Romans chapter 8 says, the whole earth is groaning, waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. God wants to reveal His presence through you so that you will bring a sense of His presence and glory into the earth, into your family, into your workplace, into your friendships. God wants you to bring that in. But He uses the trial of faith to test the genuineness of your faith, that it may result in praise. And so God, and here's the deal, there are two types of praise I've discovered. Praise because of, and praise in spite of. I love praise because of. Give me that sort of praise anytime. Praise because he met my need. Praise because he gave me the girl. Praise because he fulfilled my finances. Praise because he got the breakthrough. Praise because of the miracle. But how about those times when the trial of faith is not producing a result that you want? Then it suddenly becomes praise in spite of my circumstances. Praise in spite of what's going on. Praise in spite of what may be happening right now. I'm telling you, that is mature praise. And God wants us to praise him in spite of what's happening. Because that sort of praise is the bridge to your therefore. That praise does something in you that prepares you for what God has called you to. Because then you've got a story. Then you've got strength. Then you've got the sense of God's glory and power. Your story, Sarah, is that. You've been praising him in spite of. And as a result, he's going to cause you to praise him because of. And I believe the praise in spite of is before the praise because of. And if we can just begin to lift your hands, I'm telling you, as you lift your hands, something powerful takes place. All through the Bible, there's examples of people lifting their hands and things happening. In the Old Testament, you have the story of Moses over at the battle. And the battle was going on down the valley. And he sent the soldiers, the captains, Joshua, down there to fight the battle. And some crazy story. Every time Moses kept his hands raised, Israel would win the battle. But every time his hands dropped, they would begin to lose the battle. He's like, there's a connection here. And so he got two friends or family members, Aaron and Hur, to hold his arms up. It's a sign that we need to encourage our friends to keep their hands raised over the battle. And what we need to be to each other is an encouragement. Keep praising. I don't know the answer. Keep praising. As you lift your hands over the battle, God will win the battle. Another example in the Old Testament, Jehoshaphat, he sent the praises out in front of the battle. Now fighting the massive army, and he sent who out front? The worship team, Amanda. And the voice, oh God, praise, praise. And as soon as they begin to praise, the voice, there's something about your voice. There's a voice within your voice, and it's a voice of victory, the voice of praise. Many Christians never discover that. They're like, oh God, no. Begin to discover the voice of victory on the inside. Begin to defeat the enemy and declare, I declare blessing and praise over the situation. What do you need? What circumstance do you need to raise your hands over right now? Not because of, but in spite of. Lift your hands above that thing. I'm telling you, you'll begin to see. And it's your voice. It's interesting. I believe that there's a voice within your voice. It's the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Have you found that voice yet in prayer and praise? Have you found that voice? Is it interesting that depression is quiet, but praise is loud? Have you ever heard a quiet party? That's the worst party in the world. Sorry. Yeah, what's a party? That's like the thing you sit on. No, okay, so when you go to a party, it's like, it's not like, it sounds so artificial. Like, my name is Mark, but it's Mark, you know, like, I've been saying that for 30 years, but it still doesn't come out right. Mark. It's like a dog with a hair lip, but anyway. But when a party is loud, joy is loud. Joy has voice to it. Depression is quiet. One of the greatest things you can do when you're going through the battle is get loud. It's get loud, get moving, start praising. God, yeah. Just get the worship song on, get the praise song on, get movement happening, because the enemy wants you to be quiet and contained and withdrawn and inside. No, but God wants you to be loud and break out. I'm telling you, discover the voice of God on the inside of you, and you discover the praise. And the trial of faith will back off, and you'll just suddenly discover that my therefore is emerging. My therefore is emerging. In spite of praise, and of course, one of the great examples in the New Testament is Paul and Silas. They were arrested, imprisoned. Incredible. Laid on that wall. I mean, we're not talking nice, fancy, five-star, modern-day prisons. We're talking ugly. They were lashed. They were probably internal organs were possibly even exposed on a wet wall. And these were dungeons. And what did Paul begin to do at that? I'm sure Silas was like, what the heck are you doing? He starts to sing. He starts to sing. I'm telling you, this power of your hands, power of your voice, but the power of the song. Power of the song. Sing. And I'm not a very good singer, but I'm telling you, somehow heaven has this filter. One of the pastors on our team in Sydney has got the worst voice in the world. He is not only off tune, but off beat. No one wants to sit next to him. No, and he is one of the most amazing men of God I know. And I said to Richard, your voice sounds like the angelic choir by the time it reaches heaven, because his heart is so pure. I'm telling you, there's a song on the inside of you. As you sing that song, it begins to break loose. Something, there's something, and as you know the story, if you've read it in the scriptures in the book of Acts, Paul and Silas, they begin to sing. As they sang, somehow heaven responded, and heaven sent an earthquake. And it says it shook the foundation of the prison, because praise gets to the core of the problem. Praise gets to the root of the problem. It shakes the foundation of the issue. Then it broke open the doors and the chains. And there's lots of messages and all that. And they got set free. They got set free. But here's the deal. Not only did they get set free, because your freedom is not about your freedom. Because as they got set free, they didn't go, yay, we're out of here, get out of here. All the other prison doors opened. The people that weren't praising God, because your freedom leads to the people, other people's freedom. And the jailer, they witnessed to him and led him and his whole household to Christ. Because your freedom is about the salvation of other people around you. And your breakthrough is about other people and discovering that therefore. What is that therefore? What is this thing? Therefore, prepare your minds for action. I'm telling you, God has action for you. I love the book of Ephesians. It says he has prepared works in advance for you to do. God wants you to discover those and walk in them, not make them up, just discover them. Because the prepared works of God are not made, they're discovered. They're discovered. That you walk in it as you praise and keep following God. I don't know what's up ahead for me, but I want to just discover those pathways and what it is that God has prepared me to do. So it's not my effort. It's his preparation. And there are so many, there's foundational therefores. And I won't go into it. There's a lot of teaching. Romans 5:1, Romans 8:1. You need to know those two scriptures. Romans 5:1, Romans 8:1. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since you've been justified by faith. And Romans 8:1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The two things, listen to me, believers. The two things that you need to know is that you are justified and there is now no condemnation. The two things that we try to do in our human effort is justify ourselves and avoid guilt. But the only answer, the therefore that you need to live in, is the therefore that I am in Christ, I have grace on my life, and there is no condemnation. I don't live with that guilt and that weight and that darkness and that heaviness anymore. You have no value to the world if you live in a place of self-justification and condemnation. No value at all. And then the last thing, and it's a whole other message in itself, the three great therefores of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, therefore, basically, I'm going to summarize, therefore, in Christ, we no longer see people from a worldly perspective. Once you discover your praise and go through the trial of faith, suddenly you see people differently. People are not the enemy. People are not just annoyances or people in the way. Everyone you see is someone that Christ died for. We see people differently. And it says, therefore, we are new creation. So God wants you to discover a new life. And then down a few verses later in 2 Corinthians 5, it says this, therefore, we are now ambassadors of Christ. We are the message of God on the earth. You and I are a message of God on the earth. What prepares us to be the message of God on the earth? The trial of faith. But it's what you do in that trial of faith. It's the praise of heaven as you become the person that God has called you to become. God wants you to be an impact on the earth. Toronto, trust me, is waiting for C3 Toronto. and for the hands to be raised and the trial of faith to be worked through and for victory to come into this place. I'm telling you, as a result, your friends, your family, your neighbors, your workmates, the people that you work out with, I'm telling you, going to be impacted because they're going to see the change in your life and you discover you're therefore in Christ Jesus. Why don't we just stand to our feet as we finish right now? Thank you, Jesus. Can we just right now, I know pretty well everyone in this room is in some sort of trial of faith. Can I ask you to do something? I want you to lift your hands right now. I want you to begin to praise God over that trial. I want you to begin to lift up the name of Jesus. I want you to begin to see that the victory is on the inside of you as you begin to proclaim His name in Jesus' name. Why don't we just sing this together?